All right, welcome into Floor is Yours, an extension of Five on the Floor here on the Five Reasons Sports YouTube channel. Thanks for 15,000 subscribers. We'll be with you for the next 30 minutes. Make sure to check out the last episode of Five on the Floor here on the YouTube channel, as well as our podcast app and or all the podcast apps. Greg and Alana and Alex handled the game after last night. Thanks to those who came out to the watch party at Quarterdeck in Davie. And the guy who ended up winning money was, of course, Brady Hawk, because that's how this thing works. So he won for ASX, and you'll want to play in our ASX contest on Sunday. Make sure you check it out on Twitter. I'll be promoting it. Dolphins Jets, we're running a contest on Sunday for that. And again, it's free money, so you enter and give it a shot. All right, hey, what's up? All right, we're gonna take your questions tonight. That's what we do here. I've got Gad, I've got Greg, I've got Alex is here as well. And we're basically going to take your comments. Of course, we'll make sure to read as many as possible. If you want to donate to the cause here, if you want to donate to the cause, because not everybody can be Brady Hawk and just win money on apps every night, you can send us, of course, a super chat. And once you do that, we will make sure that we read your questions. So if you want to get in there, you can do it. All right, here's what we're going to do. This is going to be a single topic tonight. We're not going to bounce around to a bunch of different things. We know this is premature, but all anybody cares about with the Heat is the playoffs. I mean, that's just the reality of this. But what's happened lately kind of changes the equation a little bit. My headset situation is not going to improve anyway. Come up with something else. But we appreciate that, Manny. What I would say is that as we take a look at where this team is right now and who's been contributing lately, there are guys we did not anticipate would be in anywhere near a playoff rotation who might ultimately be. So we're going to discuss options for the playoffs, provided everybody's healthy. Before we do that, I want to mention the sponsors of this particular program. One of them, of course, is our friends over at Everything Trade Shows. They're based right here in Fort Lauderdale, right off of Las Olas, but they service all 50 states. Make sure to check out their Twitter handle, Trade Show ETS, and also check them out on Instagram as well. They will do a free booth rendering for you. They'll show you exactly how it's going to look. Of course, we know Omicron is out there, obviously. It's ravaging the sports world and everything else right now, but trade shows are still going on. You got to get yourself out in front of people if you've got a business. So make sure that you mention to your boss, or if you run the company yourself, you mention it to yourself. Go to everythingtradeshows.com. That's everythingtradeshows.com. Get your booth rendered, make it look really nice, and make sure that you get out in front of people. There it is. Better late than never. There are some of the companies that they work with, Microsoft, Citrix, and others. And of course, reach out to our friend Chris Chase down right here in downtown Fort Lauderdale. And we're also sponsored by Prize Picks. I'm wearing the t-shirt today. If you sign up, use the code 5. We see it come up. We're going to enter in a contest for one of our t-shirts as well. And of course, you use the code 5 at Prize Picks, you get that automatic match. All right, so let's get to it. And I'll start here with our guest. Gad is our guest tonight. Again, we got Alex and Greg. Has anything that's happened here, I'll let you set the table tonight. We've seen Gabe Vincent, obviously, kind of take over the last game. We saw Caleb Martin before the COVID diagnosis, have a 28, 8, 3, 2 steals and a block, right? We've seen Max Strus have 16-point third quarters. We've seen Dwayne Dedman averaging 9 rebounds over the past 10 games, filling in as a starter for Bam Adebayo. I don't know necessarily, maybe a conception of Dedman, that we thought any of them would be in a playoff rotation. Has anything changed in terms of the way that you view it?
I think the biggest difference made is really just the level of confidence that I have in these guys if they were plugged in a playoff setting. Like, I still think you have, let's say in Gabe's instance, you have your top three guards in Kyle, Tyler, and Vic. For the wings, you have Duncan, Jimmy, and then Strus and Caleb can kind of duke it out for that third spot. And, those are really the three guys that have impressed so far. I just think I'm really more confident. Let's say if Kyle or Vic or Tyler, they get hurt, I'm confident that we can make sure that that spot is reasonably filled. Maybe not to the extent that those guys would be able to do it in the playoffs, but I think like if you had to plug Gabe Vincent in for 10 minutes in the playoffs right now, I would be okay with that given the circumstances. So they're just playing great and I'm really happy about it, but I do feel more confident.
Let's go through what it was supposed to be, Greg, before, as we pivot to some of the things Gad's talking about here. It was supposed to be Bam, Tucker, Duncan, Jimmy, Lowry. Then your bench, Hero, Strus, maybe as a backup to Jimmy, but Hero, Deadman, Markieff Morris were kind of the givens. And then you figured once Oladipo was right, that maybe they'd play smaller, maybe Morris loses some minutes, maybe Deadman loses some minutes, but and then certainly Strus loses some minutes. Nobody was talking about Caleb. Nobody was talking about Vincent, right, at all. I mean, I think Akpala is still on the outside of this, but he's given them some reasonable minutes of late. But we haven't seen Morris in a while, and we know that Spoelstra likes to play small, right? Like, so, like, one change that I could see is, could Caleb Martin be a backup four, you know, in a rotation in a playoff setting, potentially for a few minutes against smaller teams, right? Like, that's one option. Might, you know, maybe he plays with Morris coming off the bench. Or, you know, we've talked about the possibility of Duncan maybe going to the bench eventually. So as we sort of envisioned at the beginning of the year, what's different?
I think at the beginning of the year, everybody thought Max Strus was next up. Like, if there was one of these guys that was going to jump up into the rotation and you were going to feel really good about it, I feel like Max Strus was the guy that we all were leaning on, right? And now, to Gad's point, we feel better about the other guys kind of moving up to that tier that we trusted Max. So that's what's changed is, I mean, I'm kind of stealing from Gad, is that you've got more guys that maybe can be that ninth man, because it's always, I think the saying goes, trust... Is it trust eight or trust seven?
I've always screwed it up. It's a Riley saying, but it basically goes down from nine to six, where you end up with six.
Yeah,
really trust.
Yeah, exactly. And I thought it was like play eight, trust seven, something like that. I ultimately think that we're still in the same spot where it's Depot, Hero, and I guess I'm going to say Deadman for size, because right now, like, that's obviously a... you would need that in certain matchups. But if you look at, like, I'm looking at the minutes distribution, and I know Deadman's playing more minutes now,
right?
But still, Gabe Vincent is averaging more minutes per game. Caleb Martin is averaging more minutes per game. Markieff Morris is right at the same about minutes per game. So when they were all playing, it was a more level playing field. So I really think, depending on matchups, they could size down, and you could see Deadman kind of in that Myers Leonard situation where he kind of gets schemed out, but then in the next round can end up being a very vital part. So, like, that's what I think the biggest takeaway for me is, that they have options for that ninth spot. Whereas before, I felt like it was a super unknown thing, whether they were going to have a really functional ninth man in the rotation. And this is all provided Vic comes back, because I think we're all, like, taking that for granted that he's going to slide right in as a trusted eight guy. And we obviously have to see him play first.
Yeah, I think for the purposes of this argument, but for the purposes of reality, we don't really know. But you mentioned with Deadman, and I think if they played Philadelphia, we saw Embiid was, what, 2 of 8 or 2 of 9 against Deadman last night. I think we can certainly see him in that matchup. This comment came in from Ari Simon. Before I go to Alex, I want to address it. At what point would Caleb's contract have to be upgraded? I believe it's February. Is it not? It's sometime around the trade deadline that we're going to hit.
Late February-ish is around the time.
Late February. And I've been assured that they have a plan for this and they're going to take care of it. I think the fact that some of these guys have stepped up actually makes this easier, because they don't have to necessarily go out and get somebody else now, which would have put the luxury tax in even more jeopardy if you convert Caleb's contract. But Alex, I'll go to you on this, because there were a couple of possibilities that were thrown out here today, okay? And when I tweeted it, of course, Trilly had to not include Hero as a nine-man rotation, and we know that that's not actually going to be what happens here. But let's take a look at the Caleb possibility, because I feel like that's the most interesting, because he just feels like the kind of player that Eric's going to want to use in a playoff series. Like, he plugs a lot of different holes for them. He gives them some athleticism they don't otherwise have. But he also does some things defensively that Iguodala used to do. But then we didn't see Derek Jones Jr. play very much in the playoffs. So how do you see Caleb squeezing into a nine-man rotation? Because I don't agree with those who say he's going to play 10. I'm sorry. I know Sean Rochester put that out there. He never plays 10 in the playoffs. He plays 9. So what do you think?
I also like 10, but Spo, you're right. Spo always does 8. I mean, 9 and then sometimes 8, like you said. But really, I think the Caleb stuff, like you said, does kind of fit that profile of somebody that Spo would trust, and especially the way that he's playing, right, where, like, he's coming in and the defense is kind of the first part of his game, right? And as time has gone by, he's found ways to be more.
We lost Alex's mic.
You mean, now he's back.
Hold on. Okay, there we go. You guys hear me? Okay. He found a groove, I feel like, attacking the rim and just figuring out when to go off the catch, like faking dudes off the three-point line. I just feel like it's really helped with having guys who actually attack the rim. Like, when he's out there, it's like, oh, yeah. Yeah, they could use an extra one of those guys, right? So obviously, you know, Oladipo is going to be the X factor there, because if he ends up coming back looking really good, I don't know if Caleb is going to end up getting a lot of playing time, right? Because would you play Depot and Caleb Martin together? Both of them got to be shooting well. And to be fair, Caleb's been, I think I saw he was shooting 38% from three on the season.
Yep.
And you and this, and it goes along with the Vincent conversation, who's at 39 from three and who's giving you stuff at the rim and at mid-range. Different type of players, obviously, but I think it just depends how well does the Depot thing go. How confident would you feel about maybe playing them together? And the same thing with Vincent. It's like, how many handlers do you need on the floor, right? So I think both of those guys, though, climbing up to the level that Strus was at before the season started, like Leif said, is ultimately a positive. It's like a luxury. It's like you're going to have just too many guys that you want to play because you feel like they all deserve minutes. But I think as the season goes on, and hopefully after they get healthy, we could kind of see everybody and where they're at, give them a fair comparison, and just hopefully it shakes out. But right now, like, I really don't have an answer, because I think Vincent has been that good, and they've all really, I think Vincent and Martin right now are further than Strus, and that's not even Max Strus's fault, because I think part of it is the injury. Like, I think he's kind of just been up and down ever since he's come back, and he hasn't been bad, right? But Vincent and Martin are hitting their stride as he's been up and down.
I think one of the things to consider here, and we'll get to that last question in a second, but I think one of the things to consider here too is that Spoelstra typically doesn't like to play more than three bigs in a playoff rotation. And I'm gonna characterize PJ Tucker as a big because he plays bigger than he is and he guards up. So if that's the case and it's Bam and Tucker, then I do think the guy who ultimately could get squeezed, it may not be Dedmon, because there may be at least one big. It might be Markieff, and I feel like it's, we'll have to see how he comes back, when he comes back. Again, we reported that he might be back as much as a week and a half ago. He wasn't cleared for contact, so, and then the COVID situation, they don't want to put anybody on a plane, so it's going to wait until they come back. But he was starting to get into condition, Gad, but he's been, as someone mentioned, he's been, I think Sean said this on Twitter, he's been squeezed out of playoff rotations before. It would not be the first time. Ultimately, I think the guy that Caleb replaces in the rotation is him. If he gets back, which I'm expecting him to get back into the rotation during the regular season, but I think he's the guy that goes.
Yeah, I think it's not just so cut and dry, though, because there is going to be scenarios where, let's say, you're playing against a team like Milwaukee. You need Markieff, who has, as Alex likes to say, he has acreage. He's a little bigger-bodied guy. Like, he can get in the way of a Giannis, whereas Caleb, I wouldn't particularly trust him, maybe as a help defender, but not, like, actually putting him on Giannis just to impede him from getting into the paint. So I think what's happened with these bench guys really blossoming is there's just so many more chess pieces for Spo to go mad scientist with, which we saw going into the bubble. There are some questions. Oh, where do a bunch of these guys fit? And then by the end of the year, we kind of saw Spo trim that rotation down to nine. We all understood it. But there was still moments where you throw Kelly, you throw Myers, you throw DJJ, you throw none in there. But the more pieces, the better. And I think that's one of the big takeaways so far from the season is just that Spo has so much stuff to play with. And he's tinkering right now because he has to. But come playoff time, I think – I'm not too worried about who exactly is in the rotation. I don't think it's going to be as consistent. I think it was Greg that mentioned it, but it's almost going to be like a ninth man by committee. And I think that's a really good thing for this team. It doesn't need to be so cut and dry.
I'll say this, the Nets comparison,
the bubble team.
It is. And remember, Kendrick Nunn basically got phased out completely. I think this team is deeper. I think they are, which is a crazy thought. Before the season that would actually be the case. But I guess, Greg, you know, if you look at a Nets matchup, you size down, right? Like, I mean,
100%.
Right. Oh, yeah. So that's a matchup that I do think Caleb gets those minutes.
Oh yeah.
I think that they can even play smaller. I mean, we don't know what Kyrie's situation is going to be yet, but they could. The other thing is there are some combinations here that have worked that I feel like Spoelstra is going to want to go to. I keep talking about the Lowry Vincent combination. Like, he just and look, Duncan's playing better. He's shooting 37% this month. Kyle seems more comfortable playing with Gabe Vincent in the backcourt than with any of the other backcourt players. And I think against some of these teams that size down in the backcourt during the playoffs, I'm trying to think of time. I mean, Atlanta may be one, right? Like that's that you might do it against them when you're trying to think of other teams that are close to the top. I mean, Philadelphia's got a little bit more length, obviously. If they see them, Milwaukee obviously has a little bit more size that you've got to deal with there.
Chicago's kind of a pretty traditional roster. Cleveland is an interesting topic, you know, like how they would address that. Because to your point, I think like in a Brooklyn series, that's a Caleb Martin series. That's a PJ Tucker series. Like PJ Tucker may average 44 minutes a game in a Brooklyn series and a Milwaukee series, honestly. Probably any series. Who the hell am I kidding? But Cleveland is the one matchup where I think it could force Spoelstra to go against what he typically would do and have to kind of size up. And that's the one interesting matchup as I look at these teams. Charlotte is in the sixth spot right now. I think that would be a pretty sized down kind of situation. So it's really the Cleveland, Philadelphia are the two teams that I would look at that maybe like a Caleb would get squeezed and you go bigger.
I'm not going to comment on anybody else's hair, so I'm going to let the comment about Gad just go out the window here. But I guess, you know, as we look again, you know, you mentioned the matchups in the East. Cleveland is unique compared to everybody else, and I feel like we've been waiting for them to come back down, and I don't know necessarily that they're going to. That's the other thing. I mean, so you may see them early on, and if that's the case, then Morris plays, right? Then Dedmon plays. Then you don't use – but against Chicago – like, you're probably going to want Caleb Martin's length against a LaVine, against a DeRozan, right? Like, they're not particularly big. I mean, other than Vucevic, who hasn't looked like himself this season, I do feel like you maybe want the additional wing there. But I'll go to you on this, Alex. I mean, everybody wanted more players, right? Like, the Heat have to add something at the bottom. I mean, even the John Wall question comes in here, right?
I think they're good.
Right? Like they don't really, I mean, it's just waiting on Oladipo and then figuring out how it works, right? I mean, if you could add one thing to this team, just as a rotation, what would you add? Another, Gad's saying another four. Is that what, to be better than Markieff Morris, or do you even need
it? That's the thing. It would have to be somebody significantly better, because how else are you trading for a four than by giving up Duncan? So it's like, it's got to be somebody like it's got a significant upgrade that would be pushing PJ back in minutes just to almost conserve him. Like it would have to be somebody very, very good, I feel like. But to me, there's no specific positional hole that they're missing out on. I think the way that guys have progressed with Vincent and Martin, it's kind of gotten rid of the concerns with me and the backcourt and the extra wing. And those guys have just been so good on defense, and the shot is falling, so it's really hard to complain. And it's not that they don't do other stuff, but when it comes down to back-end role players, like when the three is falling, when they're playing high-level defense the way they are, they move the ball. It's not like, you know, any of those guys are stopping the ball and mucking up offense. Like, they're really just great plug-and-play additions, and they've gotten better and better in that role. So I just don't really expect it to fall off too much, other than maybe – the 3-point, I mean, they're both shooting really high percentages right now. Hopefully it keeps going.
And we've also seen the starting backcourt has started to pick up. Lowry is at, I put it up today, he's over 38% this month. He's playing 35 minutes, which is something this month, which is something I want to address. But there are two guys who came in.
And I missed Markieff Morris. Like I was very skeptical coming in, but I would like to see him back into lineup. And before you said that, maybe he's the one that gets.
Oh, we lose
him again. Gets frozen.
Who gets frozen? I guess frozen out. Uh-oh. There we go. What the
hell? Oh, don't do it like that. Come on now.
Don't do that. Alex, we'll get back to you when your mic comes back. But there are two names that came in here that I want to address, because when we talk about a four, it has to be a game-changing type four, I think. Harrison Barnes' name came in here. The other one is Jeremy Grant. I don't know that they would have enough to get Jeremy Grant. But let me just, I'll throw all of you. I mean,
I like those names.
Okay. But like with Jeremy Grant, like, I mean, you're trading Duncan Robinson. Like that is happening. So that if you're going to get him, I don't think that would be enough. There would have to be more added to that. You don't have a whole lot to add, but are we all in agreement that you would deal Duncan Robinson as part of a package to get Jeremy Grant? Yes. I mean, does everybody agree with that?
Okay. For sure. I think that like PJ Tucker obviously is starting and he's in this huge role, but I think ultimately at his age, there's something to be said for like him being what he is now, but doing it off the bench. And being able to be that plug and play guy. So having a Jeremy Grant, a Christian Wood, like someone like that there, there's a lot of options like that. Maybe Christian Wood isn't as great a fit as Jeremy Grant just next to Bam, but those are the type of players, but I just get hung up on the fact that I think ultimately the Heat are going to land in a space where they say, if we're going to make a move, like we're going to package Tyler and Duncan and we're going to make a big ass move.
Right.
So I just don't see this materializing into anything where they trade for a marginal rotational player, like a Andre Iguodala type. Like I just don't see that happening this year.
Let me go to you on this, Gad, and we'll get to this comment here in a second on Jeremy Grant. But I want to address Andrew's comment that came in a little bit earlier. I do think some role players play better when they're not playing with stars, and some play better off of stars, right? So let's Andrew's comment was kind of along those lines here. It's too early to judge because we have to consider how Gabe, Max, Caleb play with the stars when they come back. All right, so let's evaluate that. Okay, we see. Let's start with Gabe. Okay, Gabe plays well off of Kyle. I think the ability to either handle or play off the ball, it's very comfortable between the two of them. Kyle's done this with Van Vliet, and it feels natural, I think, for both of them. I have never gotten the sense that Gabe plays great off of Jimmy or off of Bam. It seems to be more of a Kyle thing. Whereas
But
Max plays well off of Jimmy, right? Mm-hmm. So I do feel that. Now, I guess the question would be, we haven't seen Caleb a lot with Jimmy because Caleb, in a lot of ways, has sort of replaced Jimmy in some of those lineups. So how would you evaluate how those three guys would look with Jimmy and Bam? I'm not going to take Vic out of it, okay, but with Jimmy and Bam.
So with Gabe, I think he fits with anybody, which is kind of what we've seen from his skill set a little bit. He plays on the ball. He plays off the ball. He's one hell of a defender, either on the wing or at the point of attack. He can kind of do a little bit of everything. So Gabe, I think he fits with everyone so long as the shot is falling. If not, then there's obviously some concerns with Jimmy and Bam. Max plays best with Jimmy. I think that's something that we've seen. They definitely play well together. And then with Bam, I don't know if we've gotten too many Bam or Caleb minutes, but I feel like that infusion of athleticism between the two is something that we should track moving forward when we do get to see those minutes.
Well, if we saw Caleb and the Caleb Martin combination obviously work. I mean, the Caleb Gabe combination works, particularly at the point of attack on defense.
Oh, yeah.
I feel with Bam, you add PJ to that. I mean, that is right.
Maybe that's Tyler, and then that's a scary lineup. Like
scary, that's a disruptive lineup, basically. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So. I think Caleb. It would be interesting to see him more with Bam, but he's someone that I don't think you're going to be seeing him much with Jimmy. They just it's a lot of replication of skill set there. Doesn't make too much sense, but Gabe fits with everybody. Struce definitely fits with Jimmy as long as his shot is falling, and Caleb kind of just is a Jimmy clone, gives you some facsimile of him. So,
but he's also been Greg. The thing about Caleb is he has shot the three pretty well. And because I was thinking, remember the questions when Justice was going to play with Jimmy? Like, okay, defensively they would wreak havoc, right? But like offensively, they both need the ball in their hands. Caleb doesn't. Okay, Caleb's more of a cutter. Justice wanted to be a point guard, right? And Justice couldn't shoot consistently, right? I mean, the 36% sort of outlier he had from three aside. Sorry, Alex. I know Justice is a favorite, but I mean, that was an outlier. Can we all acknowledge that the 36% that Justice shot that one year? Greg's not going to acknowledge it either.
Oh my God.
Do we think Caleb is an outlier right now, though? Because he's coming off that, what, like 6 or 7 3 game against Milwaukee?
But his shot doesn't look broken. Like,
Justice, oh, for sure. No, he's definitely a better shooter than number 20.
Absolutely. 23%.
Of course, but I don't get why we're comparing him to Justice.
Well, the reason I'm comparing him to Justice is because there was a feeling that Justice and Jimmy had some skills in common, that Justice was a Jimmy light, right? Like, and that was one of the concerns when the two of them came together. And we've discussed Caleb as being Jimmy light in some other ways. That's all. I feel like, Greg, they would play together better than Jimmy and Justice would have. No?
Oh, for sure. I'm out on Justice Winslow 100%. That dude, I don't know. I've just watched a couple of the Clippers games, and I don't watch all of them, so I'm probably, like, not equipped to discuss Justice Winslow anymore. But what I've seen has been, like, he's a marginal player. Like, he's a guy you don't trust in a 9-man playoff rotation right now, to me. So anyway, but we should, to Alex's point, we should leave Justice alone and talk about the team.
All right, so we're talking about
Justice hasn't even been healthy for like 2-3 years now. Like
I knew you were going to jump to his defense, but that wasn't my point though. My point was that I do feel like Caleb and him can play together. Let's get to the comment here, the super chat comment that comes in. I want to make
as long
sure
as he keeps shooting that three, good.
Jeremy Grant is a Heat culture kind of guy. Would be perfect for to play next to Bam. Gives you the best of what PJ. It does. I absolutely agree. Here's the thing, and I know, Gad, you've pointed this out too. Every one of these sort of very good but not great players who becomes available, I think Hawks. Because if they want a guy,
yeah,
they can get a guy. Like
the
they
package
have
is too easy. They have so much to throw at any team right now. Just based off of the Hawks alone, the Heat will not be able to compete for any of these fours that fit us because if they can play the three, they definitely fit the Hawks better, and they have the assets for it.
Right.
So are definitely looking to move Collins then?
No. I don't think they have to move Collins in that scenario. You have Gallinari and a bunch of young players.
I mean, you can move Reddish, right? You can move Gallinari.
No, I'm just saying, like, if you're going to trade for a four, if you're
Yeah,
you're
Hawks, I agree like, with Alex.
You're going to have Grant, Collins, and Capella together there? Like,
No. Weird. Capella would probably – that would give you, like, an elite small ball lineup because you're thinking Brooklyn and then you also – can use Jeremy Grant against Giannis. So I think he's someone that can play the three. It just makes a lot of sense for me.
I would just trade Collins for Grant and just saying keep the rest of the guys.
See, I'm with Gad on this because I feel like that I feel you'd be so versatile with those three guys as your core guys, and you could play them together. And we're also seeing now, look, what if they get Cleveland in a playoff series? Like, I mean, Cleveland's playing a four at the three right now, right? I mean, they're playing three guys who are 6'11 or taller. I don't think it's crazy to think of Jeremy Grant as a three in that scenario and then playing four next to Collins or Capella, but they have the most buy. I mean, even with Solomon Hill out for the season, they still have all these, and I thought Solomon would be valuable if they traded Reddish or Hunter, right? So they'd have, you know, this other piece that they trust, but they just have so many guys that they can go to on that team. And Gallinari to me is sort of superfluous for them. So I don't know. I just think Atlanta, so I guess the point is, yes, Jeremy Grant would be perfect. I don't know how Miami would top it unless Duncan Robinson is going shooting 43% from three for an extended period of time. But let's pivot to Duncan then, because I think this is a good place for us to close, okay? Is that we're all sort of making the assumption, or maybe we're not, that Duncan is going to be not only in the rotation, but a starter, right, in the playoffs. But a lot of Gad, you don't necessarily think so, and others on Twitter don't necessarily think so, that it could be Hero or it could be Oladipo, that is the playoff move. So I'll let Gad finish on this. Alex, you go. What do you think the odds are, A, that Duncan is starting in the playoffs, again, assuming an Oladipo return, and B, is there any chance he's not a core rotation guy? Because we have seen with Spoelstra, sometimes you can go from starter to 10th man, where you're not necessarily playing heavy bench minutes. You don't see any scenario that happens.
That's ridiculous.
I don't see the no rotation minutes for Duncan. If that's the case, then we have 30 days until we consider where exactly his destination will be. Because if he's not going to get – my thing is, if you're not going to get playoff minutes, you can be on the table because this team should be trying to win now. But I do think Duncan – in the event that Victor Oladipo is healthy and looks like himself, I'll let Vic do what Tyler's doing now, be the primary engine of the offense off the bench. Let Duncan be the spacer next to him. Figure out rotations that way. You have defense, you have shooting, and put Tyler in the starting lineup as the primary shot creator. That's what I would do. I think Tyler, although he's had a rough stretch a little bit, I think he's earned it, and that is ultimately where I think he wants to be.
Yeah.
And Duncan, I mean, he's shooting well as of late, but he needs to do it consistently. But what he's done recently in terms of adding some other things to his game would fit really, really nicely. Not with the starters, with Victor Oladipo, because there's some more passing components involved.
That's interesting. Alex, though, I want to go to you because you were on the podcast with Coach Nick with me, and I recommend people catch that on the YouTube channel or on our podcast channel. And he didn't seem to be a Hero fan. I'll just leave it at that because he made the point pretty quick. Well, you know who KZ Akpala was, which – again, as much tape as Coach Nick, I think that puts KZ into some perspective when he said who when I asked about KZ. But he was talking about Hero, and he basically said if you sub Hero in with the starters instead of Duncan, you're looking at basically what it was, 125 defensive rating or something. It's just the one substitution. That's it. Drops your defensive rating by like 20 points per 100 possessions. So, I mean, in that scenario, which I think makes sense for the bench, if Oladipo's healthy, primary ball handler, Gabe maybe becomes behind him, maybe as the 10th guy, Duncan next to him. I do think that works off the bench, but does Tyler work in the starting lineup with this group?
I think it's a good question, and that number is one that we're going to have to be monitoring all season. We talked about it before, just like a lot of that stuff is just a heavy load of fourth quarter minutes too. Mm, yeah. So it dilutes the sample a little bit because you know how Spo runs that lineup. I mean, when they were healthy, they were running that lineup a lot in those fourth quarters. That was clearly the closing lineup, and Tyler was always the guy getting targeted. So although I do think that both things can work, to a degree, like I definitely think Duncan off the bench can work and make things easy for others. But I don't know. I'm of the belief that Duncan, especially the way he's playing now, I want to keep him confident, want to keep him going. And I just see the growth, and I'm a little bit more hopeful with him. You know what I'm saying? Because I keep seeing he's doing everything you want him to, and the shooting has come back around a little bit. It's you're not getting as many of the, you know, the terrible shooting nights that you were seeing before, where it's like, is that even Duncan Robinson out there? Or, like, did they clone him? Like, where are they hiding my guy? But really, the Duncan to the bench thing makes a lot of sense. The Tyler to starting lineup thing, I don't know. He absolutely deserves it just from his production and the level of play, right? Like, 100% he's there. But I don't know. Like, I wonder there will be some diminishing returns, or like, if Tyler's just going to have to, they're going to depend on him so much to be a spacer. And I don't know, maybe they look at him to be the scorer, but then it's like you're gonna be diminishing some of your best players.
Can I sneak? Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to sneak one comment in. I think that to Gad's point about them playing to win, they need to figure out, does Tyler work next to this group as a starter? Because like ultimately that's where he's trending as a player. But like, so you gotta get to the bottom of that. So put his ass out there. Or if it's, do we need to figure out, is Duncan Robinson worth $15, $16 million, or do we need to pivot off of him and make a move?
But Greg,
we got to figure that shit out.
But Greg, I get it. But the one thing I think we've already figured out is that Hero and Robinson playing together is a non-starter.
Duncan is good with the starters, and Hero's good with the bench.
We've right, right. Well, that's why you don't make the change, even though I do think that there may be, if Oladipo looks like Oladipo, there's going to be a push among Heat fans to get him in the starting lineup, but then you don't have the space in the starting lineup necessarily, because we know even at his best, Vic is maybe a 34, 35% three-point shooter, right? So, and you know, and then you have the Hero Robinson. You can't play the two of them off the bench. It's kind of like the Dragic Nun situation. It wasn't workable. Like we know that, right? Like, so it is kind of finding that balance. And I'm with you on Duncan. In fact, he is playing better. I still don't think he's going to be closing games though. And so ultimately the decision that's going to be made there is Hero or Oladipo, I think, at the end of games. Right, but I guess the final thing on this, because we mentioned PJ, and then we're going to go, thanks to our sponsors, Everything Trade Shows, and of course, Prize Picks, Code 5. I don't necessarily think we all believe that PJ would be closing every game in the playoffs, but I feel like now we do, right? Like,
I do.
He's not taking him off the floor, right? Does anybody, I mean, he's going to be playing next to Bam.
Unless he just falls off for some reason, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's coming off an injury or something where he doesn't look the same. This PJ Tucker, there's no way.
Yo, Pat Riley pulled up to him at a red light and said, I love you. That dude is playing in the playoffs.
I wish I could do the same.
We're not having any more further discussion on that. He said, I love you, and he drove off.
Oh, okay, Greg, you can close with this. I'll let people handle this because I'm going to poll this. Is PJ Tucker now the best PJ in Miami Heat history?
Not yet.
Okay. I'm with you because two of the guys on here aren't old enough to remember the other one, but
PJ Brown was huge.
He was pretty special for
Pop's
them.
Pop's Jr. better.
I will say this, though. Pat Riley likes the dirty work four more than he likes any other position on the floor. He came in with Kareem and Magic, doesn't care about that. He would have chosen AC Green. Okay, like he likes, no, he seriously, Haslam, yeah. Brian Grant. He would have loved coaching Grant Long. Okay,
Anthony Mason,
PJ Tucker, PJ Brown. Like those are the guys UD. that he and UD. Of course, those are the guys. And I mean, yeah, I mean, maybe PJ's going to stick around for 20 years. All right. Thanks to Gad. We appreciate it. Thanks to Alex. Thanks to Greg. We got an ASX sign up for Jets Dolphins on Sunday. Make sure you check that out on our Twitter channels. And also, one other thing. We got two people at the game tomorrow night, and none of them are here. We've got Michael Christian and Jonathan Ramlakhan are going to be on site at Heat Magic. So we're starting to staff some road games. So check out their work up there. They'll both be on Post Up 5R tomorrow night. Have a good night.